You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The Associated Press came out with their athletes of the decade, and LeBron James edged out Tom Brady for the honors this decade. Brady went to 5 Super Bowls, won 3. LeBron went to 8 NBA Finals, won 3. Brian, you think they made the right call here? Is LeBron the male athlete of the decade over Tom Brady?
I mean, yeah, I think you're kind of splitting hairs between these two. You're talking about the best athletes that we've seen in a very long time, not just this decade. But I would pick Tom Brady for this reason. Football is just a team sport. And Tom Brady has done it with so many different people, a different offensive line unit, different wide receivers, different defenses. And he's done it against different teams as well. LeBron, in basketball, think about this. LeBron can be dominant and win a bunch of games. He did it in Cleveland at the beginning of his career, made playoffs, made finals without any help because he was that good. Tom Brady, you're seeing it this year, he has to be good, but everyone else around him has to be good as well. That's why I would lean towards Tom Brady. But, I mean, you can't have a wrong answer here.
For the exact reason you made, however, is the reason why I think it's so clearly LeBron, because you're absolutely right. Brady can win a Super Bowl like he did last year, where he wasn't very good in that football game, where they scored 13 points. If LeBron isn't good, his team loses. Those are the rules of engagement, and they have been the entirety of his career. No matter how good his teammates have been, he's never had a championship where you're like, oh, his teammates carried him to that. Go ahead,
no,
Brian.
Well, Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh carried LeBron a few times.
Well, they were, but he was the best. Every championship they won, he was the best player.
No doubt about it.
He certainly has had help. I'm not arguing that when he's won titles, he hasn't had help. But there's never been a moment where you said, wow, the Cavs or the Heat or whomever won the title, won that series, despite LeBron James. But the numbers also, the Associated Press, who has gotten this, the athlete of the year, wrong a number of times, they maybe should scrub their history a bit. Jackie Robinson did not win it the year he broke the color barrier. College football player did. They've had a lot of odd snubs. This one they got right. The titles they're even on. This decade, 3 apiece. Finals appearances or Super Bowl appearances, it's 8-5. League MVPs this decade, it's 3-2. Finals MVPs, it's 3-2. And the other element of this that I think factors into it at least a bit is the impact LeBron, and some people would say for bad, I would argue for good. The impact LeBron has had on the sport as far as, and maybe all sports, player empowerment and player freedom of movement, that started this decade. That started with the decision which changed the way we look at what athletes are allowed to do. What athletes are allowed, the superstar athletes leaving where they were drafted to, aside from Kareem, or I guess Lou Alcindor at the time, leaving the Bucks to go to the Lakers, and Barkley leaving Philly to go to the Suns later in his career, it's just something that was not even considered a possibility. And now you see it even in football. You see guys saying, I do not like it here. I want to go somewhere else. And the power dynamic shifting from the organization in the front offices to the players. And that is a direct impact of the what a lot of people consider to be LeBron's biggest mistake of the decade, which is the decision almost a decade ago.
LeBron is so special. So, I mean, it's hard to go against him. I kind of still factor in where Tom Brady was drafted at. But I know it had nothing to do with this decade.
Sure.
But when LeBron was coming out of high school, he probably was the best athlete in the NBA already at that point. Coming from the sixth round to be this multiple-time champion, Tom Brady, that still means something to me, even though it wasn't in this decade.
And let me make one quick case for Brady, even though I think they got this right. If Brady's career started this decade. He is a first ballot Hall of Famer and one of the 10 greatest quarterbacks ever. If the first decade of his career was his entire career, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer and one of the 10 greatest quarterbacks ever. First decade of his career, you're at three championships, a fourth appearance, a league MVP, an undefeated season. Second decade of his career, this decade, three championships, five appearances, two league MVPs, and a continual reinvention where we didn't see a single downtick really until the end of last year and obviously this season. He and Jerry Rice are the only two NFL players that I feel like you can confidently say had two separate Hall of Fame careers. Bisect their careers in the middle. They are both not only Hall of Famers, they're both all-time Hall of Famers of what they did. That is a testament in a brutal sport to what Brady's accomplished. But he's not, I mean, he wasn't the decade over LeBron. I mean, who are we kidding here?
Back here with Brandon Flowers. We're talking Browns and a season to forget for Baker Mayfield. A step back in almost all facets of his game after a great year one. That step back cost Freddie Kitchens his job, and now the Browns are looking for their fourth head coach since drafting Baker. The candidates reportedly include Urban Meyer, Josh McDaniels, Greg Roman, and Mike McCarthy. Brandon, I'll start with you. Does Baker Mayfield still make the Browns an attractive destination for head coaching candidates, you think?
I think the Browns are an attractive destination, not because of Baker Mayfield, but because they have a great roster. You know,
isn't the quarterback the heart and soul of where that roster begins?
It does, but you can do what Arizona did and not fall in love with your quarterback like they did Josh Rosen and draft a quarterback like Kyler Murray, who you want to bring in. So I think it's just attractive because everything that's around Baker Mayfield. And Baker Mayfield, if he gets the right signal caller in there, I would just like to see how he can go. You know, if he can bring in a Josh McDaniels, someone that can come in, you know, being a head coach is all about getting the guys to perform at their best. So if Josh McDaniels come in, tell Baker, sit him down, hey, you remind me of Brady did when he was young. Just make these throws. These are the reads you need to make. Go to Odell Beckham and say, hey, I remember when I had Randy Moss, and at one time he felt like he wasn't getting the ball as much, but it won us championships because he was a decoy. I think that would make that team better. It would be somebody that they respect with Josh McDaniels coming in, and I think it would be great for the team. And another head coach that is on a list that I think will be valuable as Greg Roman out of Baltimore. Yeah, just because you got to get him away from Lamar Jackson right now. Those two together seem unstoppable. And defensive coordinators are having just a week
we'll
in the division.
Sacrifice us to make
exactly.
Sure.
And if he feels like Baker Mayfield isn't a quarterback for him, go draft a quarterback. There's plenty of mobile quarterbacks coming out of college that can get the job done. So those two coaches, I think.
So you just real quick to follow up on the Roman point, because I think Greg Roman's going to be an NFL head coach. Baker does not, to me, appear to be near the athlete necessary to take advantage of the scheme Greg Roman wants to run, what he did so successfully with Cap, what he did a little bit with Tyrod Taylor, and what he's obviously doing to historical success with Lamar Jackson. To you, it's on the board, it seems, that the Browns, after next season, move on from Baker entirely, especially if they hire a head coach like Greg Roman that loves the roster more than the actual quarterback.
Definitely. Baker Mayfield isn't wowing the league with his arm right now. He's not wowing the league with his leadership right now. So what's going to make you hang on to Baker that say, I cannot move away from this guy?
Wow.
So definitely it's on the board with Greg Roman coming in to, hey, even if the quarterback's coach try to bump up to offensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens, Greg Roman knows what can stop that offense. You know, he has it inside out. And right now it looks like Baltimore is going to run that division for a couple years.
You know, when I watch this football team and I think about Baker, I think back to 2018, 27 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. He only got sacked 25 times. And obviously in all those categories, he took a step back this season. But if I'm a guy that can develop quarterbacks, Mike McCarthy, I think he can develop quarterbacks. I'm saying this is a great opportunity to go get my hands on a young quarterback and affect his entire career. I remember when I came into college, I had a coach, Stan Drayton, that coached me so hard. I had to go up to him after the first couple weeks like, yo, do you like me at all? Because every time I see you, you're yelling at me, you're trying to tell me what to do. You're trying to change my game. Those things that he saw in me, he knew I needed to change so I could be a better player. That's the type of coach that Baker needs. He needs a coach that's going to say, listen, you have all these athletes around you. You don't have to be the superstar. Hand the ball off to Chubb. Get the ball out of your hands quickly to Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. You don't have to be the star by just holding on to the ball and throwing it deep as and far as you can. You have to be able to get the ball out and stop turning the ball over. A head coach can impact him. An offensive coordinator can impact him. He just has to find the right guy. This is a big decision for the Cleveland Browns.
All right, it's probably the last big decision John Dorsey is going to be able to make.
That's right.
Because if Baker or this head coach don't work out, John Dorsey's going to be out of a job. He picked Baker. He's basically all in on Baker. He picked Freddie. We're giving him a mulligan on Freddie. This next one, he has to get it right. I am not yet, again, going to sell my Baker Mayfield stock, and I think the Browns are a very attractive job if you believe in Baker's body of work as opposed to this season. That it is, we've got to be a little more fair in evaluation of athletes when Baker has done nothing but not only achieve, but achieve at a record-setting level at every year of his career, from walk-on at Texas Tech, then his first year at Oklahoma, before he won the Heisman, he set the all-time efficiency mark for college football. The next year, he broke his own mark and won the Heisman. The next year, he comes to a team, Cleveland, a team that is coming off 1-31 over the last 2 years, takes over after a couple weeks, leads them almost to a 500 record, deals with a head coaching change midway through the season, an offensive coordinator change midway through the season, and still thrives. Now, this year, he has failed on all fronts. He has failed in how he's conducted himself. He has failed in his maturity. He has certainly failed on the field. But I want to give this guy who has shown us at every level he can succeed, even at the NFL level, more than 1 year of failure before you abandon it. And if you believe in Baker, this gets to your point. The talent on this roster is exemplary.
Of course.
Myles Garrett, I know we forget about him, and he's technically still suspended by the league, but I think he'll be back week one. He is an elite player. Denzel Ward showed his rookie season. He could be an elite player, even though he took a step back this year. We know how good Odell is. We know how good Jarvis is. Nick Chubb looked like he was going to win the rushing title this year before Derrick Henry snatched it from him with 3 hours left in the NFL season. If you think the quarterback can even just be above average, then this is, to me, a super attractive job, and a job where if you get them to the playoffs, they might build you a statue. You don't have to go win a Super Bowl like you probably do in Dallas to be considered a success.
So then give me a name of a guy who can corral all that talent to get everyone on the same page, because it's a lot of individual personalities, which we thought coming into last season, we needed someone to take all of that talent and make them work in one direction.
I think a lot of people can do it. I think it's people that have been NFL head coaches before. And the one guy who has not been an NFL head coach who I think might be able to do it is Urban Meyer. Because Urban Meyer, I think he has as much credibility as a college coach can have amongst NFL guys. Because A, he coached a lot of guys who are in the league who can speak to him, because he coached at such a high level at such great programs in Florida and, forget Utah, but he did a great job there too, at Florida and then Ohio State. And also, you watch Urban on television. I'm just saying this because he works with Fox. You can see the presence he has about him. But if they don't want to go Urban, I do think Josh McDaniels would be a great answer. He has failed in one spot, learned from it, gone to New England. I don't think he is going to take the Cleveland job. You know, Belichick's dislike for the Browns, I wonder how much that has polluted, if you will, Josh McDaniels. But I think Leslie Frazier is not a sexy hire. He made the playoffs with Christian Ponder. He made the playoffs with the quarterback play at the level Baker was this year because of the talent on the roster and because of his power of personality, if you will, even if it didn't show in press conferences. He's now done a great job in Buffalo as a defensive coordinator. No one's talking about his name. That's a guy I would think about. You mentioned in the division. I'm bringing up another person that people think is a terrible coach, and I don't know why. Marvin Lewis, for what he did right with Cincinnati. Uh-huh. What would the Browns pay for 7 playoff appearances for whoever their next head coach is? Now, I know they were one and done every year, but they had the worst quarterback than their opposition every year but one. Someone who is a true professional head coach, which Freddie Kitchens just flatly was not.
They need to find a guy that can be a face of the organization so that Baker Mayfield doesn't have to be the frontline guy because of some of those maturity things. Until he matures and says the right things that the organization needs him to put out there, they need a guy that can talk to and mention all the things that the organization needs him to.
Hey, Brian Westbrook, you want to play a little in or out?
Let's play.
Yesterday, the Giants fired Pat Shurmur as their head coach after 2 seasons. They have a solid foundation in quarterback Daniel Jones and star running back Saquon Barkley. So, Brian Westbrook, You in or out on the Giants being the best head coaching vacancy in the NFL?
You know, when I think about it, I would love to be the coach for the Dallas Cowboys, but I have to deal with Jerry Jones on a regular basis, and I just don't want to do that. With the New York Giants, of course, you have Saquon and Daniel Jones, but you have the Mara family, and I think that is impactful. That helps you out just a little bit. They've been a solid family throughout their history of owning this football team. I think it is probably the best current head coaching job.
I'm going to go out. I'm going to go Cleveland. You know, in New York, it's a tough media. If you don't win, they own you heavy. They're not going to give you a long leash. If you start out 0-3, it's going to feel like the world falling down on you. And Cleveland, they're not expecting you to win that much. So with a talented roster, if you go in and you make some things happen early in Cleveland, I think it'll just be better overall for a head coach.
I'm also out. You know what's worse than dealing with Jerry Jones? Dealing with Dave Gettleman and having Dave Gettleman be your boss.
And they're keeping Gettleman.
Yeah, somehow. And I'm not sold on Danny Fumbles. He throws a really nice ball. He's the most fumblingest fumbler I've ever seen fumble. He needs to somehow get that cleaned up. If I don't trust the GM, I'm questionable about the quarterback. It can't be the most attractive opening.
Gettleman got Jones and Saquon. Two good picks.
We'll see. I don't know if I agree with that. We'll see.
On Sunday, Marshawn Lynch played his first game of the 2019 season, 12 carries for just 34 yards, but he did get into the end zone. Brian, you in or out on Marshawn being a difference maker in Sunday's playoff game?
I'm out. I think the Eagles' run defense has been really good. They've only allowed one rusher, Ezekiel Elliott, over 100 yards all season long. I just don't think that he's going to be the guy that's going to impact them. If the Seahawks are going to beat the Eagles, they're going to have to throw the ball down the field. It's going to have to be Russell Wilson.
I agree for all the points you just made, Brian. I just don't see Marshawn Lynch carving up this Eagles defense, which is their strength right now. Their front seven is playing ball. Marshawn Lynch is only his second game back. I'm not looking for him to be a difference maker. It is early.
I'm in for a number of reasons. He's going to be a difference maker one way or another, because what Pete Carroll and that offense in Seattle is not going to do, even if it's what they obviously should do, is let Russell Wilson just drop back 45 times and do Russell Wilson things. They are going to run the football repeatedly, even if it leads to a playoff loss like it did last year when Russell was brilliant when he gave him the opportunity, but they still were just running into the line of scrimmage repeatedly. So Marshawn's they're going to run the ball at least 30 times in this football game. I don't know if they'll be successful. They will run the ball at least 30 times in this football game. I would wager any amount of money on it. It's what the Seahawks do. It's why a team that maybe could have won 13 games clawed their way to 11 because they run a caveman offense in Seattle.
It doesn't mean you need to wager any amount of money on it. Just let him. He'll win and lose his money. He's a grown man.
Jenna's so worried about my finances.
I am.
There's a reason I got two jobs. One job for the family, one job for the gambler.
It's a shame you skipped Christmas this year. The team the Seahawks will be facing, the Philadelphia Eagles. Philly got some more bad news on the injury front with guard Brandon Brooks being ruled out for the rest of the season. Brian Westbrook, you in or out on the Eagles overcoming their injuries to win Sunday against Seattle?
I'm out. I think that in football, you can overcome some injuries, but the amount of injuries that you've had to playmakers, Zach Ertz and all of the receivers, then Lane Johnson, and now Brandon Brooks, who's been one of the guys that leads the way in the run game, which has been really effective with Miles Sanders. It's just hard to win against better opponents that way. I'll be out.
I'm out also. You know, Wentz looked great against the Giants, pulling his weight with no receivers, no running back, no tight end. I think it runs out in Seattle, and I just think Russell Wilson is going to do too much in this game and just overcome.
Listen, I think it'll be a very close game. I think it'll be a very good game, but I am also out. I wouldn't be shocked if Philly won, but Seattle loves playing these tightly contested games. They have been extraordinary on the road. You pointed this out earlier. 7-1 on the road this season. They already played Philadelphia this year. It was one of the more dominant defensive performances. Now it was when Philly wasn't playing as well. For all those reasons, I'm out. I think Seattle gets this game and gets a third matchup against San Francisco in what would be an elite divisional round.
Well, drawing a blank now, Saints and Vikings facing off Sunday on Fox. New Orleans big favorites in this one. Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer's taking notice, saying, quote, "I don't think anyone believes we can win this game." Brian, the wild card team most likely to pull off an upset this weekend is blank.
We just talked about them. It's the Titans. They're going into the Gillette where the Patriots are not playing well. They have a run game. Tannehill has been playing out of his mind, and I think that defense is not afraid of that offense of the Patriots. The Titans have a great chance to win this game.
I'm going Titans as well. The NFL playoffs are all about matchups. New England struggles stopping a run. Tannehill, he's feeling his arm right now. Patriots are suspect on the pass defense last week. I think Titans get it done.
I can't believe it. I'm the one that believes in the Patriots on this set, at least for this week. I think we're likely going to get a chalk opening round, meaning all the favorites win. If we don't, to me, it's the Bills. The Bills, since week five, Josh Allen, 17 touchdowns, 3 picks. But the biggest mismatch in this Bills-Texans game is a coaching one. You have what I think is one of the, who I think is one of the best young coaches in the NFL, and Doug McDermott, against a coach. Doug McDermott, I think, is a basketball player for Creighton. There you go. Dougie McBuckets. Sean McDermott, thank you. Against Bill O'Brien, who every year in the postseason reminds people why he's in over his head as an NFL head coach. I don't care how many AFC South titles he wins. He's a detriment to his team come the postseason. So if there is an upset, I think it's most likely to be the Bills.
All right, even though Tom Brady has struggled recently, he is still the GOAT. Maybe this weekend he and that offense will finally click, get things going. Brian, the quarterback playing wild card weekend that you'd want most under center is blank.
Well, Nick made it the comment earlier. The Saints are overrated. Number three seed, Drew Brees is a quarterback that you want.
Overqualified.
Three seed. When you think about it, if you want a guy to be accurate, he's that guy. You want a guy that's going to throw the ball where the ball placement should be, he's that guy. He can make the big throw down the field. Drew Brees brings everything, and he's a great leader, great quarterback.
I got Drew Brees also. I feel like revenge tour, revenge games. This is Drew Brees and New Orleans Saints year. You know, the last 2 years, they went out on some bogus calls, the Minnesota Miracle, then a L.A. Rams call. I think that this is their year. They're going to be having a chip on their shoulder all playoffs, Drew Brees.
As much as I love Brees, I'm going to go with Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson has always elevated his game in the postseason. Even the game where he was having one of the worst, not just playoff games, one of the worst games of his career, the NFC Championship game against the Green Bay Packers. At the very end of that game, what did he do? He rallied for a double-digit point comeback and then the touchdown pass in overtime. There's something special about Russell Wilson, particularly this time of year, where as great as Brees is, you don't always know you're going to get his best effort in the postseason. And usually at home you do, but Russell Wilson is my answer.
All right, offense is king in the NFL. 8 of the top 10 scoring offenses this regular season made the postseason. So we're hoping to see more explosive plays from guys like Lamar Jackson, Pat Mahomes, Drew Brees. Brian, the most dangerous offense in the playoffs is blank.
Lamar Jackson, it's the Ravens. And when you look at what that offense is able to do, they put fear in every defense. There hasn't been very many defenses, if any, this season that has been able to stop Lamar Jackson with his legs, with his arm. When you look at their offense, they have to be the most dangerous offense in the playoffs.
I'm going Ravens as well. You know, Mark Ingram running the ball, Lamar Jackson running the ball, Lamar Jackson throwing the ball. He's not just throwing to his outside guy. His tight ends run scotch-free down a defense. I think this is the most explosive offense.
The Ravens have been the most explosive offense in the NFL this season. First team to ever do 200 rush, 200 passing, and I think they're going to duplicate that in the postseason. However, I still can't quite get out of my head the postseason offense from last year. I'm a little worried about the receivers on the outside. I see the smile on your face.
Let me guess. You're going to say the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm going to say the Chiefs. They got the best quarterback in football. They got the best weapons in football. I think they are the scariest team to match up against offensively in the entire league. With respect to Baltimore, I'm going to say the most dangerous offense is the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right, finally, the Associated Press named LeBron James their male athlete of the decade, and it was quite the decade for LeBron, who won 3 championships. But Brian, the athlete, not of the Associated Press, but according to the Brian Westbrook Press, would be blank.
Well, the correct press, which is the Brian Westbrook Press, is going to get this thing absolutely right. Serena Williams. I mean, it's going to take some time for me to go through all this. 12 Grand Slam titles. 3 times she was the AP Female Athlete of the Year. 37 singles title. The next closest one is 26. She spent 4 years, she was in top 4 8 of these 10 years of this decade. She's reached 19 to 33 Grand Slams in this decade and won the 2017 Australia Open. And Jenna, this is while she was pregnant? Are you kidding me? There's no better athlete in the decade than Serena.
I'm going LeBron James. You talking about 8 straight finals. This guy has been running the league since he stepped foot in this league. When he had help, when he didn't have help, he always made it happen on the basketball court. LeBron James, you can't get too much better than that.
LeBron, Usain Bolt and Serena both have really credible cases. I'm also going to go with LeBron James. I'm going to try to do this in about 30 seconds. Here's what LeBron James, over 7 consecutive trips to the NBA Finals, what he did in the Finals. 29-10-7 Finals MVP. A bad Finals for him the next year. 25-11-7 and a Finals MVP, including 37-12 in Game 7. The next year, 28-8-4 on 57% shooting. And the guy who held him to that won Finals MVP. The next year, 36-13-9. And the guy who held him to that won Finals MVP. Then obviously the championship in Cleveland, 30-11-9. The next year, averaging a triple-double, 34-12-10 on 56%. And his last year in Cleveland, 34-9-10, including a 51-point game one. Just his NBA Finals performances. Forget all the regular season stuff would have made him athlete of the decade. But Serena and Usain are great.
You can't do it while pregnant. Serena was able to do it while pregnant.
Confirmed. That's it. You know what? Trump card, sir.
That's it. I started jotting down a number of things I did while I was pregnant, and I haven't written one down yet. Serena Williams.
Well, that's a great answer.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.